الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My dear respected elders and brothers, consideration for others is from the akhlaq, the character and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we do not cause any inconvenience to anybody. We don't cause any taklif to anybody, any harm to anybody. We are conscious of the feelings and the emotions of others, and we always have consideration for other people. That is from the akhlaq and the emphasis and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one hadith has mentioned: المسلم من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده. A hadith which is taught to the children in the madrasa also, that a Muslim is one from whose hands other Muslims, or you can say the makhluk of Allah in general also, although this hadith specifically makes mention of Muslim, but based on the other ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the general makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a Muslim is one from whose hands and tongue other makhluk, other creation, and the Muslims in general are safe. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا ضرر ولا ضرار. This is a golden principle, that you will not cause inconvenience to anybody. You won't cause any taklif, any harm, any inconvenience to anyone. And if somebody causes inconvenience to you, then you won't reciprocate with harm, with taklif, and with inconvenience. So a mu'min and a believer is very conscious about this, that I must not cause any taklif, I must not cause any harm or any form of inconvenience to any of the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to be considerate. We have to be conscious about this. Conscious in terms of our ways, our habits, etc. So that no person has an opportunity to complain against us. No person must have any complaint or shikayat against us. We have to be so conscious that we don't cause any taklif to any person. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith has made mention that al-imanu bid'u wa sittuna aw sab'una shu'batun. That iman has many branches. According to one narration, 60 branches. According to one narration, 70 branches. Wa adnaha imatatul adha anit tariq. And the lowest of those branches, in other words, one of the branches. There are many, many branches, many important aspects. And one aspect of the branches of iman is imatatul adha anit tariq, to remove an obstacle from the pathway, something that is causing inconvenience to someone, to remove that thing, to remove that which is causing inconvenience to others. That is from that is from amongst the branches of iman. Wa arfa'uha qawlu la ilaha illallah. Just to complete that hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and the highest of the branches of iman is to say la ilaha illallah, to proclaim and to call towards la ilaha illallah. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the amals of my ummah are presented to me, and I found from amongst the righteous deeds and the righteous amals of my ummah, I found imatatul adha anit tariq, removing something which is an obstacle to the people, out of consideration for the people, to remove that obstacle. It is from amongst the righteous deeds of my ummah. And then from amongst the bad deeds of my ummah, I found that person spitting in the masjid and he does not bury it. In other words, in the old days there was no carpets, no beautiful carpets, etc. And then sometimes some sputum, some spit used to, the Bedouins, etc. used to spit in the masjid, but because there was sand, they used to bury it. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, for a person to spit in the masjid will be regarded as a bad deed of my ummah. Why? Because it is causing taklif and inconvenience to someone. Because of the inconvenience it is causing. So therefore Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, it was recorded or it was shown to me that it is a bad deed of my ummah. One hadith is made, that there was a tree that was causing inconvenience to the people. Whenever they needed to pass by, it was causing a lot of inconvenience. So one sahabi, out of concern, consideration, he went and he chopped that tree and he removed it. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُهُ يَتَقَلَّبُ فِي ذِلِّهَا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. I can see that person enjoying himself in the shade of the tree in Jannah. Why? Just because of his consideration for the people that were passing by, he went, he took the trouble on his own accord, and he went and he removed that tree because it was a disturbance, it was inconvenience for the people that were going by. So we have to become considerate. Unfortunately, many of us, we are inconsiderate. We do not consider the emotions, the feelings, and the difficulties that we cause to other people in many things that we do. One sahabi, Bedouin, comes from the villages. He comes into Masjidun Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should understand the masjids in those days were simple, very, very simple. Sand, the ground was sand, the musalla was just normal sand. It was baked walls with palm trunks and palm leaves as the roof. We all have heard of this in the past also. The Bedouin walks in the masjid. Sahaba kiram are sitting around Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he sits down in the corner of the masjid, in one corner, and he begins to urinate there. Sahaba kiram quickly jumped up and they were rushing in order to stop him and prevent him from doing that. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped him. He called them back. And he said, no, leave him. Let him complete, let him finish. After he had finished, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the hukam to some of the sahaba, go and clean that place, wash that place out, wash it out. And then call that sahabi, and then explain to him the adabs of the masjid. That Bedouin says that no person ever spoke to me or ever taught me in the manner that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught me, in the manner that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained and spoke to me. You see, now the commentators of this hadith says that why did Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prevent the sahaba from stopping that person from urinating there in the corner? So from amongst the commentary or amongst the reasons and the hikmat and the wisdom that is being mentioned, one is that if they went to stop him, and if he had to stand up and start running, what would have happened? More of the masjid would have got messed up. But more than that was, the taklif and the inconvenience it would have caused that sahabi, because we know for a fact once you start urinating, it is very difficult for you to stop your urine. Once you start urinating, it is very difficult for you to stop your urine. So in order for that sahabi, though he was a simpleton and a Bedouin, for him not to be inconvenienced, for him not to go into taklif and difficulty, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prevented the sahaba from stopping him or moving him from there. So imagine the house of Allah. And in the house of Allah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not want any taklif to come upon a person that is doing something which obviously was wrong. But he did it out of ignorance. He didn't know. It was the early days of Islam. He didn't know about it. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then educated him, explained to him, and spoke to him in a very beautiful manner that he could understand. Now, my dear respected elders and brothers, we know for a fact how much of inconvenience we cause to others, sometimes knowingly and sometimes unknowingly. We know for a fact how much of parking problems we have. All the time there is that parking problem where somebody is blocking somebody's car. You know for a fact that you are blocking someone, and now you want to start your awabin. All of a sudden you decide now you want to read awabin, 6 rakat you want to read extra. What sawab are you going to get there when you are causing taklif to the person there, knowing full well that you are parked behind someone? It's time of Jummah also, you find yes, there is traffic, etc. But we must be conscious, where have I parked my car? Am I causing taklif to someone? Am I inconveniencing someone? So in that hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is a golden principle, said, لا ضرر ولا ضرار, that they shouldn't inconvenience anyone. And if for some perchance or for some reason, somebody has inconvenienced you, then there is no, you know, reason for you now to start arguing, to start fighting, and cause more problem and taklif. Then at times we need to make some sabr also. Then coming into the masjid, you'll find many a times we are unconscious, or very unconsciously we are causing taklif to our musallis. Like for example, you come in the masjid, those of us that got the habit of smoking, now you smoked outside, and you come into the masjid, and you're standing in the saf, you didn't bother to remove that odor from your mouth and from your clothes, etc. And you are standing, not realizing that for the entire 4 rakats of salah, or perhaps for the entire Jummah's salah, you are causing taklif. You are inconveniencing that person standing next to you. And some of us, mashallah, we eat very well, you know, and we should try and clear all our burps before we come in the masjid also. Some of us, we stand in the surf and we burp so loud, the halim from Ramadan time mixed with trinko tea bags, and we find that that smell is permeating and going through everybody that is in the surf there. And we don't even bother, and some of us, anawdubillah, very loudly we will burp in the masjid. Then we find some brothers, unfortunately, mashallah, they want to read the salah very perfectly. Mashallah, you should do that, the postures of your salah, etc. But when they're going into ruku, their elbows are stretched out. Now you're not realizing you're standing in salah with jamaat, your elbows are supposed to be in. Here you want to be nicely stretched out, not realizing your elbow is hitting into the ribs of the next person. Likewise in sajda also, we should close our elbows. Yes, it has to be above the ground. Your elbows should not be on the ground. But by the same token, you shouldn't be causing taklif to the sati that is next to you. From amongst the sunnats of salah is that the softs you have to stand close by, close to each other. But that does not mean now you're standing close to each other, so now you can shove your elbow into the ribs of the next person when he's standing next to you. So these are things that it might sound a small thing, but you are inconveniencing your Muslim brother that is sitting next to you. Likewise in the masjid, making noise in the masjid, person is performing salah, and we decide now to talk very loudly behind him. We busy making stories there. We are inconveniencing someone. So A Muslim is one who will be very considerate of the next person. You will make sabr on the taklif that is put on you. This is from the akhlaq and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was very patient, very tolerant with the taklif that was, the taklif and the difficulty that was put on him. But he did not at any time cause any taklif or difficulty to any person. Another simple example, a person is making wudu, and you got a very bad cold or whatever it is, and you are taking out, phlegm in the masjid, in the wuzu khana, and you know you have taken out the phlegm, but you leave it behind and you walk away. What's so difficult for you to put some water and to wash that phlegm away? Simple, simple things. Not realizing the man that is standing next to come and make wudu at the same place, how much of inconvenience you are causing to him. So consideration, just to be considerate, just takes a little few seconds to be considerate. The next man is going to come and make wudu there. Or the next man is going to be, doing something after me. You went to the toilet, you used the masjid toilet. This can be at home also. Just to be slightly considerate, I am walking out of the toilet just to check, is the toilet clean? The next person is going to use the toilet. Am I inconveniencing him or not? Am I putting him through taklif or not? Just that little bit of taklif, or let's put it the other way around, a little bit of consideration. Consideration for your Muslim brother, it will take you into Jannah. It will grant you great amount of status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then to be considerate in our homes, considerate on our families. Many husbands, unfortunately, they are not considerate at home. They make life very difficult for their wives. They are also from the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have been given to you as an amanat in your nikah. And you are also going to be questioned with regard to them. وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Deal with them in a beautiful manner. Be considerate of your wives. Many husbands, unfortunately, when they undress, the clothes go one side, the clothes go that side, and they expect the wife to pick up things from all around. There was one person that complained, it was a marital issue, and he complained that my husband is so inconsiderate of me, that first of all, he doesn't provide me a maid in the house. I have to do all the work myself. She was busy scrubbing the floor. He came from outside with his work boots, and his boots were dirty. So inconsiderate of that beloved wife of his, so inconsiderate of that wife that cooks for him, that cleans his house, looks after his children, that he walks through the floors there. She had just finished mopping, she had just finished scrubbing the floors. And what does he tell on top of that? My mother didn't teach me to take out my shoes outside. My mother didn't teach me to take my shoes out outside. We were taught to walk with our shoes in the house. Now this is now what you call being inconsiderate. And this is causing taklif and difficulty to someone which is supposed to be so beloved to you. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very, very considerate of his family. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا أحسنهم خلقا وخياركم خياركم لنسائهم. That the best person amongst you, or the one who is complete in his iman, is the one who has good akhlaq and character. And the best amongst you is the one who shows good akhlaq and character to his wife. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made wasiyat to his ummah. Istawsu bin nisa'i khayra. Deal with your woman folk in a nice manner. Be considerate of your woman folk. They do so much for you and yet you are inconsiderate of them. Then also be considerate of your maids at home. Be considerate of your staff that are at your workplace. Many of us are so inconsiderate of them. Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in one hadith mentioned, it's there in Targhib wa Tarhib, that he went to visit his paternal aunt. And whilst visiting her, she gave the maid, the servant, the slave girl, a command that bring some food and come. So she was taking a bit long to bring it and come. So she said, "Ya Zania, what is taking you so long?" And it's in English, if you translate it, it's the B word. That, "Oh, you adulteress, why, what's taking you so long?" Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala immediately reprimanded his aunt. And he said, did you see her committing adultery? Have you seen her committing adultery that you have addressed her in this way? On the day of Qiyamah, you are going to be lashed. If not in this world, on the day of Qiyamah, definitely you are going to get your 80 lashes for slander against this woman. So many a times at home, we use the B words, we use the F words, all the different words on our slaves, on our staffs, on our servants. We don't have slaves these days, but on our servants, on our staff. And we're so inconsiderate of them, not realizing or not even thinking in this line that they're also human beings. They also have a heart, they also have a mind, they have emotions. So we cannot be inconsiderate of them also. Then when we are visiting people, we have to be considerate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran makes mention, يَا أَيُّوَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَدْخُلُوا بُيُوتَ النَّبِيِّ إِلَّا أَيُّؤْذَنَ لَكُمْ إِلَىٰ طَعَامٍ غَيْرَ نَاظِرِينَ إِنَا وَلَكِنْ إِذَا دُعِيتُمْ فَدْخُلُوا فَإِذَا تَعِمْتُمْ فَانْتَشِرُوا وَلَا مُسْتَأْنِسِينَ لِحَدِيثٍ. During the walima of Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given dawat to many of the sahaba, and he called them for the walima after the nikah with Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. So some of them, they came too early. The food was still being prepared. Now they became, what you can say, they were causing inconvenience to the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because they are in the way. We have to be considerate. We have to think, am I in the way of the family? Why, you know, sometimes we pitch up too early for the dawah. They are still busy cleaning the house. They're still busy preparing the food. So it takes a little bit of intellect, you know, little bit of thought and thinking that I shouldn't be there too early also. Go at the appropriate time. So that's the first hidayat that's in this verse here. And the next thing is that وَإِذَا تُعِمْتُمْ فَانْتَشِرُوا وَلَا مُسْتَأْنِسِينَ لِحَدِيثٍ. You have been invited, you partook of the food, you were part of the gathering. Now after that you should leave. Don't hang around there. It so happened that about three or four of the sahaba, they remained. And they carried on talking and talking. Ya Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has just made nikah with Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. And he needs to be now free with the family. And they are now, and the homes were small. And they continued with the discussion and continued with it. So Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got up and he left, thinking they will get the message. They carried on talking amongst themselves. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went, he visited, just made salam to all the other homes, and then he returned. But in the interim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these ayats of the verse, of the Quran. These ayats of the Quran. Inna dhalikum kana yu'udhi nabiyya fayastahi minkum. Wallahu la yastahi min al-haq. That you have caused taklif. You have caused inconvenience to the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he is shy due to the bashful nature of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He did not want to tell the sahaba anything. He didn't want to chase them out of the house. He didn't want to tell them, get up and go. But now when the ayats of the Quran were revealed, then he had to recite it unto them. And he had to make it known to them. And they, because of that unconsciousness of theirs, they did not realize that they were causing inconvenience and taklif to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore we have to be considerate, conscious of what we do. Don't go to people's homes and then you hang around there, you stick around there, making it difficult for the family. You know, one is you have been fed already. They even gave you tea and cakes also. And now what more are you waiting for? So it's time for you to leave. You should leave and let them continue with their work or whatever activities that they have to do. So my dear respected elders and others, it is from amongst the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we be considerate. We become conscious that we do not cause taklif, inconvenience to any person or any brother. Especially when it comes to the aspect of our parking in the masjid, in our homes, in our business places also, and anywhere else. Don't cause any taklif to anyone, but rather removing anything that will cause inconvenience to your next Muslim brother, that will earn you great pleasures and great rewards in the courts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.